And did they get?
Complain about that. I said, do you feel diminished?
I got one.
Her chair is assigned, and I gave a copy to Randy.
Me?
No, I talked to Glenn about, because it's the Glen Ridge.
Yeah.
I think
Joe.
Get one done while y'all are at your workshop.
We had no energy for it. I mean, this wasn't, didn't care. Never did anything to get an award, ever. Was that, you know, I was shocked.
Okay.
That I got the phone call.
Got any bruises on it?
Ready to start?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 1:00. We're gonna go ahead and kick off with the board workshop. Welcome, everybody. Glad you're here. And Tom, I'll let you introduce our topic.
Yes, I'm gonna introduce Dr. Andrea Gibson, who will be doing our workshop on our, this is the kickoff for our strategic plan that we have to do every 3 years. And this usually kicks it off, and she'll review the environmental scan, the timeline, and we will dive deeper into this at the board retreat in April. So, Andrea.
Is this on?
Should be.
Yep, it looks like it.
And apologies on behalf of Dr. Locklear, who is just not feeling well and was going to present with Andrea, but we're in good hands.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone, and good afternoon. Like Tom said, or sorry, Dr. Labasso said, our board, sorry, I knew you back when, right? It's hard. We actually had a bet if you'd use my maiden name or my married name, because that's a little.
I have to think hard.
I know, you got it. You nailed it this time, though. So, all right, so we are going to go do an overview of strategic planning today. So I really have three goals. What I'm going to do is let you know what we've already done up until this point in terms of the process. Then there's a little work for you guys during the during the workshop today. So there are a couple items that I need from the Board of Trustees. And then I'm going to actually give a little homework to you, because there's going to be some thinking involved so that when we come back in April for the board retreat, we can facilitate that process as well. So our agenda, again, Dr. Labasso really outlined what we were going to do. So we are going to review the strategic planning timeline. Really, the rest of it is just a deep dive into the different parts of that timeline. So we will review the environmental scan, which is a work in process here. Then we're going to ask that the board confirm our vision and mission statements, as well as our strategic priorities, or change them. It's up to you guys. And then we are going to get you prepared for the April board retreat, where myself and Dr. Locklear will be back again. So our current strategic plan, just as a reminder, and I passed out earlier.
Should be at your desk.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys should all have one of these at your desk. This is our current strategic plan, which is called Building on Excellence. So you guys should each have one of these. And because of our SACS reaffirmation process, we did ask the board previously if we could extend this one. So it's actually a 4-year plan through June 30 of 2024. And so really what we're discussing today is where we are in terms of the one for 2024 through 2027. So the strategic plan is so important. I don't think I really grasped how interconnected everything was until I really sat down to put this together. It really is our guide that leads the way throughout all areas of the college. And the big area is through our unit planning process. So we actually currently have 52 different planning units. And each year we help them develop outcomes that has to align to at least one of our strategic priorities as well as an initiative. And then there's midterm reporting and end of year reporting. And then we come back at the board retreat and let you know where we are in terms of all that progress. So I did a quick example. I'm in the weeds. This is where Dr. Locklear probably would have pulled me out, but sorry. So I did one quick example. I'm actually unit plan manager for institutional research. And so one of my outcomes is called Enhanced Institutional Access to Data and Information. And so when I go into our system, I have very first thing is which one or multiple strategic priorities does this connect to? And only one of them, it actually connects to two, but I'm just doing one example here. This particular outcome for IR hooks to our enhanced student success priority. And then in terms of the initiatives, each priority has three initiatives. Again, mine hooks to 2.2, which is to leverage data and analytics to identify barriers and help students stay on a pathway to success and completion. And then institutional research comes up with our different strategies. It's kind of a generic explanation there. But we have our own strategies. And then I report on those strategies during the end of year and the mid-year reports. So for us, it's things like making sure that we have all of our publications on our website. It's making sure that we administer surveys to get feedback from students, faculty, staff, college as a whole. It's ad hoc reporting. Dr. Labasso is very good at that. So we do lots of data to check on students. So really, truly, the strategic plan is so important, and it is the guide that leads the way. So I just threw that in so you could see one concrete example, but we're out of the weeds now. So back to our timeline. This past fall, we went ahead and started working on an environmental scan. And I'll talk a little bit more about this on some later slides, so I won't go into much detail now. This spring and this upcoming summer, we need to review the mission and vision statements for Daytona State and then determine what our strategic priorities are for this upcoming strategic plan, again, that will cover the next 3 years. And so that's what we're going to do during today's workshop. And then we will also spend time talking to different focus groups as well as do a community survey so that we make sure that we have lots of input from everyone who's going to be affected by this. Then next fall, we spend a lot of time with the focus group data and the survey feedback and really all data, things like our core performance indicators, survey data, and we kind of synthesize all of that. And eventually, by the end of next year, we will have a draft of our strategic plan. We'll bring it to senior executive staff for their approval. Once it's approved, we will actually come back, I believe, next January for you, and we will seek your approval. And then once everything's been approved, we will spend the rest of next spring doing all the training. So there'll be, a college-wide kickoff to let them know what the new strategic plan is. Unit managers will be trained. So there's a lot that's going on before we get to the 2024 through 27 strategic plan. So fall of 2022 is what I want to go over right now, and that is the environmental scan overview. It was completed by members of our planning council. Our planning council, I think in terms of Daytona State, is really small but mighty. There's only 20 members, and that includes two people that are acting co-chairs of that group. So we kind of divide and conquer to do the SWOT analysis. So we looked at institutional strengths and weaknesses, environmental opportunities and threats. We look at a ton of data, and I've got some sources for you here when I show you kind of the subtopics that were looked at this time around. And then eventually, right now, we're still in the kind of collating and getting everything together stage. This will be used as kind of a starting point for our focus groups as they help develop the strategies for our strategic priorities. So the environmental scan this year, and in fact, last time we did it as well, ended up looking into five different areas. And so you can see on the left, it's our demographics. And that includes what's going on at the state level, especially what's going on in Volusia and Flagler counties. We look at age, race, ethnicity, and other social trends. Use a lot of data from the U.S. Census Bureau. One of my favorite websites is the University of Florida's Bureau of Economic and Business Research. BEBR, I call it the Bieber. So I love that one, and we look really into there to see what's going on. Economics is another area, and again, these are just kind of the subheadings that the groups chose to dive into this time around. One that was a new one that really wasn't on my horizon, but I was like, well, that makes a lot of sense, was that some college no credential trends, right? We have students who come in to get some type of training but then leave before they get the credential. So that was something that was really looked into for the environmental scan this time around. And in fact, our new residence life, right? That's something new to Daytona State. So that was kind of a new one in that area. Lots to talk about in politics. Performance-based funding, a lot of initiatives, grant opportunities. Again, these were just kind of the main topics that came out. Technology was headed by our chair for engineering, so I'm sure that was a fun group that got to look into a lot of stuff here. Robots and drones, cyber attacks, cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, gamification. We've been hearing about that a lot. And then the last area is the environmental area. So, right, how do we make everything sustainable? The idea of green space. And then not even just at Daytona State, but how do we impact the local communities? So a lot was looked into. Like I mentioned, it's not 100% done. We've kind of grouped everything together, and we're cleaning it up to make it nice. But I did try to pull out what I call them future considerations, but really they're kind of the golden nuggets from what these groups found in that environmental scan that will impact the next. A lot of them went through 2030 was kind of the end, but within the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. So I've got a couple to point out from each area. Demographics, one of the interesting ones, and it goes right into the economics one, is that really the largest increase for ages is going to be in the 80 plus age group. And so that's obviously not going to affect our student makeup too much, but we are going to see impacts in terms of having demands for healthcare, housing, transportation, goods and services. So I think it will help kind of inform some of our new programs that we get into. Economics, you can see, was kind of the same thing. So the largest projected growth was within the healthcare and social assistance industry. And that was our area, so Volusia and Flagler. Second largest was the accommodation and goods services industry. So again, those two actually went hand in hand in terms of what was kind of found. Politics, we know, of course, the number one in workforce education by 2030. That has actually brought along a lot of funding to us already, which is great. Impacting career and technical education. And of course, the other aspect is going to be the completing the degrees and retaining our students so they complete the degrees. Technology, again, we're already seeing this. The artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, we're there, right? We just started those classes. And how that's going to impact everyone's social and professional life. I just saw a school that was going to teach a social media aspect as part of their first year experience, because students don't seem to understand that once it's out there, it's there forever. And so I thought that was a very interesting aspect there. And then, of course, our environment, sustainability, You know, initially it's can be a little expensive, cost prohibitive, but overall, hopefully it's going to reduce those costs. But how do we manage that growth in the development of everything? So the environmental scan, like I mentioned, really is going to help the focus groups help with recommendations that attach to our strategic priorities. So the first piece that I'm going to ask for the board's input on is we would like to confirm and or change, it's really up to whatever discussion is about to happen, if we are good with the current vision and good with our current mission statement. So the question that we want to answer now, does the vision and mission statement accurately reflect our purposes, goals, and values? So I can read these out loud. Our vision statement, Daytona State College is the premier source for education and training to facilitate individual advancement and economic development in Volusia and Flagler counties. And then our mission statement, Daytona State College, a comprehensive public college, provides access to a range of flexible programs from community enrichment to the baccalaureate degree, emphasizing student success, embracing excellence and diversity, as well as fostering innovation to enhance teaching and learning. So again, the first real big question for the board is, do we still feel that these accurately reflect our purposes, goals, and values? And I will step away from the microphone. And it is okay if they do. So it doesn't need to be changed, but it can be changed.
The mission statement I'll just share was last time it was, and typically, Randy, in our business mission statements don't normally change a whole lot or very often. But we did change it in, I want to say it was 2006 or 7. It might have been it was in 6 because when we began offering baccalaureate degrees. That's where you see the baccalaureate part in there. And there was other wordsmithing that happened during that time. But I think it's been the same since then.
I think so. That makes sense based on what I was feeling. The vision, albeit maybe a little too broad for me, with regard especially to some of the technical training how the college has rolled into that space and is doing such a great job. I don't know if it's properly called out in either one of those.
I agree. I think that's, I would put it in the mission statement, and maybe you can bracket it or bookend it with the baccalaureate degree reference. The flexible programs, access to a range. So you are talking about this range of flexible programs and something that goes from the technical or trade opportunities all the way to baccalaureate degrees. So you show that wide range, but I think it's important to emphasize that, especially given Daytona State's position in Volusia and Flagler counties, as opposed to other state colleges like Santa Fe, Valencia, that are basically feeder schools for bachelor's degrees.
Maybe even the word workforce development. I mean,
that's it.
The governor's priority, and it.
That's exactly right, and we, that is such a big part of what Daytona State College is all about, and.
Well, I think it. It's almost. I mean, I think we're all proud of that part of what goes on, it's not that because this wasn't written, in the. you know, in the current business environment that we're in. So it's not like we're trying to hide it, but I think it should be a bigger part. And I think our mission statement should feel a bit more alive. This is a very vibrant organization. And so, man, that's just a couple of points.
One thing I always ask is, if I read the mission statement, would it apply to every state college in the system? And if so, is there something that we want to put in there that makes us better or unique?
That's a great test, yeah. By the way.
And, you know, I don't know what it is, but I'd love to draw more students. I mean, our mission is Volusia and Flagler. I like that in the vision. But at the same time, something about, you know, top-ranked programs or something that would say, why would somebody pick here if they lived in Lake County, or you pick your county?
And there's not, and I think if you look, it doesn't even mention the online piece of our education. And we're awarded, I mean, yeah. We're noted.
Which is top ranked.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I, yeah.
You know, these are always interesting because, you know, you get into vision and mission statements, and I know everybody's been part of that. It's, you start to, you, it needs to be tight, needs to be understandable. You don't want to make it so dense that it's like, all right, I don't know what the mission is here because it's all over. So I get that part of it. It's a challenge.
Yeah,
but
I remember there was times, you know, going back, even at my former institutions where mission statements became like, three or four sentences, and I know it should be—it's a statement,
right?
Not a paragraph,
right?
You know, so it's you go down a rabbit hole of we got to catch this and that, and then you start adding a lot to it. So it's a balance of trying to hit those key points that, and I think, you know, I think like when I look at the vision statement back then, and for a while, economic development was. And it still is a buzzword, but what's developed even more now is maybe it's the workforce development part two. So, and then to get maybe to highlight a little bit of what, you know, Randy mentioned in terms of the technical aspect, you know, we can try to get that word in there.
What's meant by community enrichment, just out of curiosity?
That was to speak about the all of the continuing education that we do. We have that whole, we have a whole continuing education arm that does, we have the Center for Business and Industry. So all the non-credit, you know, courses, if Randy says, hey, I need a customer service course, training, we can do whip one up specifically for Randy, or we can do one for the all businesses to send their employees to a customer service or a Microsoft Suite type program. And that's what community enrichment, I think, what if I'm remembering back at the context of that.
Which in a way is a kind of workforce development. I mean, it's a little bit different. It's taking an existing workforce and making them better at their job.
And that helps retain employees.
Yeah, yeah.
So somehow you guys have given me homework.
That was our plan.
I see. I see what happens.
Inspired. When you said that, we're sitting here, oh, no, it's not going to work.
I know.
For our homework assignment, we're going to elect Gary to
yeah.
spearhead the assignment.
Yeah,
I like the plan.
What happens?
So I think the good thing is, just as a reminder, especially with our upcoming SACS reaffirmation visit, this is something for 2024 through 27. So I think we have some time as well. But I've written down workforce, technical, trade opportunities, alive, vibrant, what makes us unique and better, top-ranked programs, workforce development. So I wrote down all the pieces, and I think if you will allow us to wordsmith and then come back Unless you needed it sooner, we could probably come back in April when we make sure that the strategic priorities are in line.
I think that's a good idea. I also caution against wordsmithing by committee or Board of Trustees. That would take the rest of the afternoon or maybe into the evening.
I was going to say, that's pretty optimistic.
Yeah. So,
it's great feedback, and we do revisit this every year with you, and so this is the first time in a while that and I think timing is good that mm-hmm. we need to light it up a little bit.
To Chairman Howard's point, if you try and look at this mission statement, how is it different from any other state college in Florida? And one of the things might be, I don't know, I'll throw it out, is geography. The oceanside nature of Daytona State College, we've talked about this, if you go down to, if you had a class at the News Journal Center and you just look around when you're down there, or if you're a student that comes in here for a visit, and by the way, you stay on the beach side and as you're touring the campus and deciding whether you want to be here for a number of years, it's a big selling point. And I think we sometimes have a little bit of an inferiority complex when we talk about our geography. And I think, if you're thinking about going to school in Polk County or Alachua County or, some of our interior locales, and the difference between going there and coming here, come on. It's a great, and this isn't a tourist brochure.
The same thing if Polk State College beats us in a game.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, just a thought.
All right.
So we'll put we'll get a group together to take that and start to maybe, and wordsmith and bring back some recommendations that hopefully would capture what you're saying and intent. And give you
I want to emphasize, and Bob did it well, but Randy's comment is great because I'm sorry, Chairman Howard's comment.
Randy's great.
Go Falcons, by the way. Because you could insert any other college, in my opinion, in that, Daytona State College, Valencia State College, I don't think it separates us from anybody else. Yeah, I think that is almost a template that you could apply to any. And so that test is, that should be the way this thing is redone. It should not be able to be applied to another institution in Florida. It should be specific to this institution. That's my thought. I think that's brilliant, by the way.
Do other state colleges have dorms where they can live?
About 8 of us.
Okay. I just think, that you do have an opportunity to have a kind of on-campus life in all these clubs and all these things. Talk about coming alive, like, you can come and have a full experience here,
right,
which is
experience mm-hmm. that you could not really tout before.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then, some homeworks didn't go the way I thought it would. That's all right. So we will definitely come back and revisit this. So now I'm almost even afraid to ask this next one. But we would also like to confirm or actually have probably a bigger discussion on if these current 4 strategic priorities are what we see as the 4 strategic priorities in 2024 through 2027. So currently we have ensure academic excellence, enhance student success, building community partnerships, and emphasize institutional effectiveness.
I like the active verbs. But I think you need to change building community partnerships to build. So it's an active, forward-looking kind of statement. So just, again, a little wordsmithing.
And maybe just one, because I think it, in my time as a trustee, it comes up often, and again, it's something that we're proud of, with regard to ensure academic excellence, offer affordable quality educational programs that meet the academic. Because that is
a hallmark.
Hallmark of this organization. So I would maybe just add that word.
Absolutely.
I remember, excuse me, when we looked at some of the metrics, like comparing us to the other schools in the state, something in there about job placement to me would be important. The notion that you're not just going to get a degree, but you're going to get a job, if that's your goal. And then I'm always big on the, I probably use it too much, but top rank, as opposed to just like meeting the academic need, I'd want to exceed it. I'd want to be like the number one in the state for nursing or the whatever we pick as our priorities.
Aren't you glad you did this?
Not saying I'm silently having some words with Dr. Locklear right now, but no, I am. This is a relatively new role for me in terms of where I've been throughout Daytona State, this position. So this has been really, for me, nice to hear. And even, you know, I didn't know that the mission statement was 2006. I'm like, that's when I started here. Right, that's always been our mission statement. I never really, you know, never really thought about these things, just accepted them as like, hey, this is how great we are, and this is how we measure it. And so it's been interesting to see the building of this. Like, one of the things I kind of snooped around, because I just didn't know what you guys would throw at me. So I'm like, oh, what if they ask, you know, do you have any suggestions? So I'm kind of snooping around. And one thing I noticed with a lot of the other Florida College System schools is that they pick a letter and they go with it. So one of them, I looked at Broward, and every single one of theirs started with an S. So it was like soar and success, and I forget, they had four different S words. So that building just suddenly irked me, because I'm like, man, we enhance, we emphasize. I'm like, can we enrich? I'm like, I want another E word. I don't know. It was very... very interesting to see how the other colleges approach this as well. But yeah, I think the residential student community, and that may come in, these are really just the priorities. The next step is to look at the initiatives, and that's really where we're going to talk in April to say what makes up these different priorities. So we can stick with these, we'll change build. And then maybe change what some of the initiatives are to kind of make them, you know, match more what we're doing now, not what we were doing back in 2020.
I like enrich. You don't have to use build.
No. Build is great. It was so funny because the two that I looked at, I think Eastern Florida is everything was an A. And I was like, why? And then I looked at ours and I'm like, oh, so close. We're so close.
Andrew, I shared with Amy when I saw a draft of this, and I'm not sure if it would be the priorities page or the initiative page, but I think what's it would be I initially said it was the initiative page, but maybe it would be here, is I think we need to say something that to the effect that it meets business and industry, like under academic excellence,
mm-hmm.
that meet business and industry needs or workforce needs.
Yes, you are three slides ahead of me. Okay. Look at you.
I'm not sure if that would be more of an initiative.
I think so. Yeah. Well, honestly, I think it could go both ways. What one of the things, and I'm not telling us what to do, but it is politely suggested to me that we try to stick with four. So I'm really good with adding a new one. I saw advanced career and workforce development was one that I saw at a bunch of the other institutions. And I can see, you know, with a lot of the things that we're doing with workforce, that becoming a new one, but then I want to try to merge some of these other topics as well. But I think it could also be an initiative. So we could go either way. Advanced career and workforce development. Yeah, that's the one.
What do you all think about that? I thought, you know, what's been very much more heightened in recent years is everything we're doing is we're constantly talking to business and industry, and that's been driving, you know, new programs like the cardiopulmonary science program that we did, and the accounting program that we did, and the mechatronics, and the advanced welding. So I think it's a good guidepost for us. I think it certainly fits, you know, why we're here, is to meet the business and industry. And, you know, the economic development piece of the puzzle that we do play a role in is when attracting businesses, that we are an asset that a business sees that can provide that workforce that they're looking for. Like when we brought in, when Team Volusia was bringing in that engineering company that does customized knee replacements, we brought them to the ATC, and they were just drooling over the additive manufacturing capabilities that we have, and it's actively working with us. And they chose us for a lot of reasons, Embry-Riddle, and they started at the incubator.
Yeah,
I think it was a Colombian company.
Yeah.
And so that piece of it too, our role in attracting business and industry to come to the area.
Yeah, I think if we left it, if we humor me for a minute, if we left these as they were, with the exception of fixing the verb on the one, I think the ensure academic excellence, where we're offering quality educational programs that meet the workforce needs, we can make that an initiative. So I will jump somewhat ahead. So let's say we pretend we're going to say yes, but we can come back if we change our minds. The next steps, as I previously mentioned, in April at the board retreat, Dr. Locklear and I will bring in a progress report for the 2020 through 24 strategic plan. And then we will also get the input and make sure that we have the direction on the top initiatives within our priorities for the upcoming strategic plan, 24 through 27. We will also do focus groups and community surveys. The focus groups is going to be the bulk of it. We're starting relatively soon on those. We've done in the past, so it may change slightly, but we've done 10 of them. We target all of our different constituencies, so faculty, our career employees, our professional employees, the administrators, students. We go to all of the regional campuses, and we also have an online option in case someone is not available. And then the community survey is going to take a lot of the recommendations that the focus groups come up with and ask them to be ranked in terms of what the community feels is most important. So a lot of work to be done in the spring and the summer. In the fall, I already kind of mentioned this, we will get to the strategic plan draft, but it's going to involve coming back to Planning Council and doing, we have two strategic planning summits, and there's a lot that goes on. So we review data publications, all the survey results that we do, our environmental scan, the input that we receive from the Board of Trustees, the focus group information, the community survey information, and eventually we define those top initiatives, And then at the next one, we try to create all the strategies as well as come up with a timeline for implementing everything. So they have a lot of work to do in the fall, get them when they're fresh coming into that fall semester. And then, as I previously mentioned, next spring, we'll be back in January with a nice new copy and say, are we good with this? And then once everything is okayed, it goes college-wide and celebrations, et cetera, et cetera. But as Dr. Labasso mentioned, really in April, one of the things that we want to do is make sure that the priorities align with the direction of the initiative. So this is kind of the homework piece that I mentioned. So right now, for each one of the four priorities, we have three current strategic initiatives. And they're also in the book, so I realize this is kind of small. But I think here is where, you know, ensure academic excellence, we can swap one of these out for what you were mentioning about workforce development in that way. So I think this is really where, you know, nothing right now, unless you want to talk it out, that's great. But really more towards April, once you've had time to kind of digest this, and like you all said, what makes us unique? What do we really want to see as these initiatives? And so there are two slides, but again, they're in the book in front of you as well.
Andrew, I think what would be helpful too is, you know, a few weeks before the April workshop retreat, that maybe we give them a template, a little work template that you can sketch some ideas, so that you know when we go to when we get to the retreat, you already have some things, and you're not wrestling with the concepts right there. And if you are inclined to, you know, spend a little bit of time before the retreat to give some thought to those, and just give them like a worksheet that has this with some blanks, or with this with extra lines if they want to. There's nothing holding us to just three initiatives under each one either, is there? Other than it looks nice?
Yes and no. It just gets harder the more we have. So we would like to keep everything nice and neat and the same, but we don't have to.
We try to keep it to three.
Otherwise, it's overwhelming, right? 4 times 3, we're already at 12 options. So.
Great.
But again, that's really where we were kind of leaving things today, was we wanted to get the feedback on both the vision and the mission statement. So we will bring our homework back. And I think we can also provide maybe our ideas for that at the same time as we provide the template for the initiatives. And that way you can think of anything that you want added to our new mission and vision statements. And then in April, we'll do this again. And then you'll see me next January. And it doesn't stop. And then suddenly it'll be 2028, and I'll be back here. No. But any other questions or comments or anything else I need to take back? I promise I wrote down everything.
I would just say, as each of these that we've done, since, you know, these workshops, I've found them all to be a good use of time, as was this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good, thank you. You guys are doing all the work, so thank you.
And when you said homework, I saw Kelly like this.
Hey, I started out as a math teacher, so I really could have brought you some homework that you wouldn't like.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. And
we'll reconvene at 2.
Sounds good.
My tongue, not to ask the beach be put back into.
Well, I almost said it for you.